We're thankful that each of you is here this morning. I'm thankful that Brother Bush is able to lead the singing for us again. I appreciate Brother Butler leading the prayer. He's not able to get up and as easily as he once did, but he speaks loudly enough that we can all hear him. And I'm thankful that those of you that are a bit more mature, let me put it that way, are able and willing to continue to help us in the work of the Lord. Thursday is a day we call Thanksgiving. This week is a week we sometimes call Thanksgiving week. The students at Freed Hardeman are off all week. They left Friday afternoon and won't be back till next Sunday. And that's great except for one reason. They closed the cafeteria. And I don't have another place to go eat like that, so pray for me. I know you all are really worried about me this week, but I told them I thought they ought to be more considerate than that, than to close the cafeteria when I need a place to eat. But I've got opportunities, many things, don't worry about me, I'll be fine. The Bible emphasizes thanksgiving. In 1 Timothy 2, I will therefore that prayers, intercessions, supplications, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Back in the 100th Psalm in the Old Testament, a psalm that we hear quoted a lot, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. One of the things mentioned in a list that describes those of perilous times in 2 Timothy 3 is those that were not thankful. I have been known to say that I think two of the greatest problems that we have in this country is a failure to be thankful and a failure to accept responsibility. And I really believe that. I think there's a tendency for us to not be as grateful as we should be. And though we sometimes sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, I wonder if we ever really do that. And really name our blessings one by one and realize how well blessed we are. If we had a list of what our grandparents thought as wishes and a list of what you and I consider to be needs, our list of needs would be longer than their list of wishes. Most of the things that our forefathers, a generation or so ago, wished for, and some of them never thought they'd even happen. You and I consider them to be needs, and because of that, many times do not stop and have a feeling of gratitude and do not express those feelings of gratitude as often and as much as we should. Too many times we're like the little story that I heard. These two little boys were out with their mother and they met a friend who gave each of the little boys an orange. One of the little boys said, thank you. And the other one didn't say anything. And the mother, like all mothers, looked down and said, son, what should you say? And he said, peel it. And you know, I laugh at that too, but I'm afraid there's too much truth in it for it to really be funny. Because if we're not careful, you and I are thinking more about peeling something than we are saying thanks for something. To help us to put this subject in proper focus, I want to go to a story that happened during the life of Jesus, recorded in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? I want you to think about that little story. It has so many wonderful thoughts in it. And perhaps by looking at it, it can cause us to think. And that's really what I want to do today, is to try to stir up our thinking on this subject of thanksgiving. These 10 men had a dreaded disease, one of the worst. It probably would be in the category of cancer as we have it today. Almost every day, or every week at least, I hear of somebody else that is facing a problem with cancer or the possibility of cancer. It is a terrible disease. We certainly realize the seriousness of it. At that time, and even to some extent at this time, leprosy is one of the worst problems that a person could have. In fact, usually if someone had leprosy, he was banned from associating with other people. And there used to be at least a colony of lepers off the coast of the United States in the area of Louisiana. And I think may even still be there, though we've made a lot of strides and are able to handle the situation better than we did a few years ago. But you'll notice that even at this time, that these men recognized the seriousness of their disease because it says they stood afar off. They were accustomed, I'm sure, to not mingling with the crowd, but sort of off to themselves. They stood afar off even as they asked Jesus to consider having mercy on them. They had a very serious disease. Jesus healed them. He told them to go to the priest. They would, at this time, there would have been certain things that people were supposed to do, and even though they may have been Samaritans, or at least it was in that area, he told them to go to the priest. But as they went, they were cleansed. They had asked Jesus to have mercy on them, and he had mercy on them and cleansed them. As they left, they were cleansed. 9 of them never said thanks. 1 of them came back and expressed his gratitude to Jesus for what he had done. And Jesus asked that question that we've heard so many times, where are the 9? I suspect that God could ask that same question today. The percentage might be a little bit different. It might not be different at all. That only 10% of those who received such a blessing took the time to come back, make the effort to come back, and say thank you to Jesus for what he had done. Whatever the percentage, I think you would agree with me that there are many who do not come back today to say thank you. Many who receive gifts and never say thank you in any form or fashion. As we think about this, let me pose another question. Why do you think the 9 did not return? What I'm going to give to you in the next few minutes is somewhat speculation. But it's speculation based upon things that are taught in the scripture and observations that have been made as there's been a study of human nature. I would suggest that it's possible that some of those 9 or all of them did not come back because they reasoned we have too much to do. We don't have time to go back and say anything. I'm sure they did have much to do. You think about men who have been lepers for some time, we don't know how long. They maybe have not even been able to go about the very basic activities of life in family and among friends and in the community. And you can just imagine that now as they are cleansed, that each one of them would think, Now I can go home. Now I can be close to my family. Now I can be associated with my friends. Now I can do all these different things. And that may very well have occupied their thoughts to where they didn't even think about going back to say thank you. Does that not happen to us sometimes? We get so busy with things that are good, things that possibly need to be done. But to where our time is occupied and our thinking process is occupied, and we're concentrating more on what we need to do than we are stopping to think about the blessings that we have. And carrying that just a little bit further, they may have become so busy doing the things that they needed to do that they didn't have time to say thanks. There's also the possibility that they may have reasoned in their thinking, he owed us that. Why should we go back and say thank you? Because he is going about doing good. He is going about helping others. And certainly if anybody needed help, we did. And so he owed it to us. And there's really no need of saying thanks. I would especially direct this point to those of you that are a bit younger. There is a tendency for us when we are children to never say thank you to dad or mother for any of the things that are done. There is an allowance handed us, or there is money given us to pay for our needs at school or other activities, and we never say thank you. Because we sort of reason they owe that to us. They brought me into the world. They have the responsibility to rear me. And so they owe me this. And frankly, they do. But is that the only way that you're going to look at what's done for you by those that love you the most? When you sit down at the table at home, and we as husbands need to think about this, and the wife has fixed a good meal, prepared it, and served it, do you get up and say nothing? Maybe with the idea that she owed me this when she accepted being my wife, that was a part of it. And again, the truth of the matter is that is a part of it. The wife does owe you as a husband many things, and you as a husband owe the wife many things. But does that mean that we go through life day in and day out and never take the time to say thank you and to let the spouse or the parents know that we appreciate what they're doing? It's also possible that these men forgot to go back and say thank you. I know it would have been soon. The situation seems to have happened relatively fast. But other things no doubt would have occupied their mind, and it may be very well that some of these very nine said later, if asked about it, well, I really meant to and I just forgot to. Oh, how many times do we forget to do something that we intended to do? And if you, like I am, as you get a little older, you need to make a few notes to be sure that you don't forget. I carry my notes with me all the time, and I check them fairly often because I tend to forget things also. I've been blessed with a good memory, but if I'm not careful, I'll forget something, maybe even forget a promise that I have made. And many times I will think, well, I need to write a thank you note to someone who did me a favor sometime back, and I really intend to. You remember that get around to it? We were talking about the round wooden nickels this morning, and you may have seen a round piece of wood with the letters to it, T-U-I-T, on it. And many of us need one of those to carry all the time so that we get around to it in doing what we need to do. It's so easy for us to forget. I don't think any of us really intentionally mean to be ungrateful or ingrateful. Ingratitude. I don't think we really intend to, but we may just forget it. And then I am almost positive that one of the things that went through the minds of those that were healed on this occasion was, what's the use of going back and telling him? He'll know. And Jesus did know the hearts of men. He was able to know the thoughts of each one. And if they were thankful or not thankful, he would have known. And I think in our associations, many times we know that the other person really is appreciative, just doesn't say anything. And so we use that excuse. Well, he'll know. Why should I say anything? I also have thought of some other reasons why you and I are not as grateful as we ought to be. I'm convinced that we are not as thankful as we ought to be because we have not done without, like some people have. I honestly can say to you that I don't know of many things that I have needed in life that I didn't have. Now, there are some things I wanted that I didn't get. And there were times that I didn't think at the time I was getting what I needed. But I think if I would be honest with myself, and probably you'd have to join me, I'd have to say I've never really needed something very badly that I wasn't able to have the basic part of what I needed at least. I haven't done without, like some people. I sit sometimes and look at some of these reports on television of little children, particularly in other places and other countries, and even am beginning to realize that in our own country, little children that go to bed hungry at night. And it's hard for me to get that out of my thinking because I don't know what that's like. And I probably am not as thankful as I ought to be for the food that I'll eat today. Because I don't really know what it's like to go without. I think another problem that we have is that we want too much. I think all of us really fit into that category. And this is because, as I alluded to in the first part of the sermon, I think we have allowed what we consider to be needs to grow so much that we want things that we sometimes don't really need. And if we are always wanting something else, we usually do not appreciate what we have. Do we allow ourselves to want too much? I think we fail to count what we have. I mentioned earlier that song, Count Your Many Blessings. How long has it been since you sat down for a few minutes and just meditated and didn't think about anything except just think about the blessings that you have? It's easy to sit down and think about the negative things in life. You start thinking about your family. It's easy to start picking out the things that you wish were not like they are, and maybe among your friends. But how long has it been since you sat down and thought about the good things about your children or your parents or your spouse or your friends? Maybe we just don't think about the things that we have. I believe another reason that we're not as grateful as we should be is that we tend to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I'm sure all of you have seen an animal that stuck its head through the fence and then couldn't get it back. My dad dealt with goats a lot when I was growing up, and the horns on a goat lean back like that. And that goat can stick his head through the fence, and then he can't get his horns back through. If I had a dollar for every goat I've gotten out of the fence, I'd be much richer than I am. But people are like that. Most of us think that our friends have more blessings than we do and have fewer problems than we have. There's a song that says, "No one knows what goes on behind closed doors." And that's true. Many times, what seems to be the greener pastures among our friends may not be the greener pastures. I've found out that when I see some of my friends driving a brand new automobile, most of the time they owe for all of it. And the pastures may not be as green on the other side of the fence. We have a tendency to look across the fence and think those pastures are green, and much of the time, we're not fertilizing the grass on our side of the fence for it to be as green as it can be. If we'd spend more time fertilizing the grass on our side of the fence, instead of looking at how green it looks on the other side of the fence. I think another problem that we have is self-pride. And though we wouldn't admit it, all of us probably have a little problem along that line. A little bit struck on self. It's easy for us in an egotistical way to think, well, you know, I'm just a little bit better than the average run of people. And we're warned in Romans 12 not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And that's an admonition that all of us need. There's another side of that for another time. I think we need to be careful we don't think more lowly of ourselves than we should. But we need to be careful we're not struck on ourselves and we think almost to the idea that the world owes me a living. The world owes me all of these things. Self-pride. Pride goeth before destruction and a fall. Then I think we have a problem that we overlook the main purpose of our blessings. Took me a long time to really put this in focus, but I think it is important. You know, really, each one of us needs to be a channel through which God's blessings flow to other people. If God has blessed you financially, shouldn't that be a reason for you to reach out and help others more than you might have otherwise? If he has blessed you in different ways, why has he given you those blessings? I think one of the reasons is to allow you to use those blessings to help other people. Read Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. And there's a great lesson there about the separation of the two and heaven being represented. But there's also a great lesson in looking at what God wants us to do with what we have. He wants us to be helping others. And sometimes we're not as grateful as we should be. And I guess if I summed up all these things, where you and I live and the time in which you and I live, I think one of the biggest reasons, maybe the biggest reason, that we're not as thankful and do not say we're thankful as much is we are allowing ourselves to be too busy. We're just too busy. Sometimes with things that don't matter, as we sometimes think that say don't amount to a hill of beans. But we're so busy that we forget to take care of those things that are most important. I'm sure you could think of other reasons, but these are just some of the reasons that I consider and try to apply to myself as to why we are not as grateful as we ought to be. Now that's the nine. Where are the nine? But there was one who came back. And let's not get so involved in discussing the nine that we overlook that one. Notice that he made an effort to come back. When he saw that he was healed, turned back. That took an effort. He was going in one direction. He didn't say, I'll do it later. He turned back and went back to Christ. And it also says that he said something with a loud voice. Loud enough that not only did he say thanks to Christ, but he let everybody else that was there know that he was thankful for what had been done. And it says he glorified God. He realized to some extent, although I'm sure you may not have realized wholly who Christ was, he realized to some extent that this blessing had come from God. And he gave God the credit. He glorified God. And he fell down on his face before Christ. He had a submissive attitude, in this case he even had a worshipful attitude. And it was right when Cornelius fell down before Peter in Acts 10. Peter said, get up, I'm a man. But on this occasion, this was Christ. And he fell down before him. He had a worshipful attitude. He had a submissive attitude. He had a thankful attitude. And he turned, he made the effort to come back. He voiced his appreciation, and he showed his appreciation. Now, I don't know where you would go to find a better three-point outline for appreciation than right there. He made an effort, he said something, and he did something. And if we would take that little outline and apply it in our lives, it would help us to be grateful for the blessings that we receive. There's a statement in Psalm 107, verse 2. 7 verse 2, that we need to express our appreciations. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm not for sure he was talking about thanksgiving there as such, but look at those two little words, say so. If you appreciate something, say so. Someone does something good for you, say so. You may not have the money to do some big thing for somebody, but you can say thank you. You can say thank you. And you can act in a way to let it be known that you are appreciative. Act as if you appreciate it. Make an effort, say so, and express it by your actions. We need to be grateful to God for all our blessings. We need to be grateful to one another for the blessings that we receive of each other. And we need to show our appreciation with action. You remember the whole second chapter of James is basically saying, show me your faith by your actions. Show me. And I think God may be saying to us today when it comes to our appreciation of blessings, show me. Say something about it and do something about it. I don't see how anyone could think that he is as grateful as he ought to be if he's not doing his best to serve the Lord. You see, if we develop that attitude, there are some questions that we don't ask. We don't ask, am I going to church? Am I going to read the Bible? Am I going to help others? That's just a part of it. When we're really as thankful as we ought to be and show our appreciation. I challenge all of us, including myself, to be more thankful and to express appreciation more than we do, and especially toward God to express it in obedience. If you're not a Christian this morning or a faithful Christian, would I be wrong in drawing the conclusion that you really don't appreciate God's blessings as much as you should? If you're not a Christian, you're not a faithful Christian, can you really say that you appreciate that greatest blessing ever given? The death of Christ for our sins? I don't think so. And so if you're not right with God, if you need to be baptized into Christ or need to come asking for prayers, come as together we stand and sing.